Okay, so it worked out this week that the Daf HaShavua also corresponds with Hanukkah. So we note that probably the most popular song over the course of Hanukkah is Mo's Sur, and the refrains of Mo's Sur connect to different aspects of Galus. And the drasha regarding the name of Mordechai is the opening line of the stanza of Mo's Sur dealing with Purim. So we're going to start preparing for Purim already in Hanukkah. So what we want to do now is we're going to darshan this particular paragraph of Mo's Sur to try to highlight the messages of Mo's Sur and what it's telling us about the Purim story and the discussions in Megillah that we're learning right now. So let's jump right in. Karos Kamas Barosh Bikesh. He wanted to cut down Komas Barosh. So the Gemara in Megillah here says, Yaleh Barosh, this is Mordechai. Why is he called Barosh, this type of tree? Because he was called the chief, the Rosh of all the spices. It says, Ata kach lecha besam Rosh mar Jaror, that you should take these spices. And mor Jaror, this pure myrrh, in Aramaic is Mari Dachi. And Mordechai, like Mari Dachi, was the Rosh, the head of the spices, and therefore he was called Barosh over here. So Karos Kamas Barosh Bikesh, that Haman wanted to cut down Barosh. He wanted to cut down Mordechai. I saw it in the Kovetz Nezer HaTorah in Chelek Hay, so Shaul Rothenberg, he notes that the verse focuses on Mordechai and ignores the destruction of the Jewish people. It's very funny, right? The whole thing talks about Mordechai, 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 but what about he wanted to wipe out the Jewish people? So he says, in fact, the pshat is the entire story of Megillas Esther is that Haman really just wanted to kill Mordechai. But the Megillah says that it was not appropriate, it was seemed very petty that Haman was going to kill just Mordechai, that he had a thing to do with him. So he said, I'll kill all of the people that are connected to him. And therefore, really, the whole essence of the Megillah, which is we're hinting to here in Mo's Sur, in this stanza, is that really the whole attack was on Mordechai, but it just played out through the story of the Jewish people. Rav Aaron Yaakov Kahane, and I saw in the Kovetz Or Yisrael Chelek Zayin, he suggests that it's literally referring to the tree that Haman wanted to cut down. The Barosh is this type of tree, and it's referring to the tree that he wanted to cut down in order to hang Mordechai. And this will play out in the next piece. And then it refers to Agagi ben Hamdasa, which is, as we know, Haman. And the Pasuk in Megillas Esther says, Haman ben Hamdasa ha-Gagi. And then the next line continues, V'ni asala lefach lemokesh, but it became a trap for Haman. The very obsession that Haman had with destroying Mordechai would be his downfall. There's a beautiful voice in the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron, Rav Aaron Cutler, in Chelek Aleph, on page 103. So Rav Aaron Cutler says, Shamate, I heard this from somebody else. I remember hearing this from Rav Shechter, quoting the Vilna Gaon. It is a beautiful idea. The Gemara in Chulin Kuf Lamed Tes darshins the psukim of the Megillah to want to know where do we find the characters of Megillas Esther in the Torah, right? Min HaTorah Minayin. Where do these people in the Torah? So when it comes to Haman, what's this pasuk? The pasuk is in Bereishis, by Maaseh Bereishis, HaMin HaEitz HaZeh, that they partook of the Eitz Hadas, Haman HaMin HaEitz HaZeh. And that's where we find a reference to Haman in the Torah. So says Rav Aaron Cutler, says the Vilna Gaon, what's going on over here? What's the connection between the story of the Eitz Hadas partaking of the tree and Haman's downfall? So they say it's obvious. Haman says, everything I have is meaningless to me. I am the richest, most powerful, wealthiest person in the whole world. I have a family. I have everything I need. But there's one Jew who won't bow down to me, and that ruins everything. The same thing with Adam and Chava, the same Midah. They had every single thing in the world. There was literally nobody else around. They had everything possible, but they said, I want the Eitz Hadas. The one thing I can't have, that's going to be my downfall. It's the same Midah. The same Midah that led to the downfall of Haman is the same Midah, is the same mistake that was made by Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. Having everything and it not being enough. And therefore, that was his downfall. His obsession with Mordechai was his downfall as well. It's been recorded by historians. Hitler, on a statistics level, might have been more successful in the war if he wasn't obsessed with killing the Jewish people. And he pulled people away from the front lines, pulled away from the battle, resources away, that eventually led to his downfall in losing the ultimate war as well. The Matzah Yehuda explains that the very tree he built for Mordechai was used to hang him. That became his mokesh. That became his stumbling block in his endeavor. V'gavasa nishpasa, and His arrogance was eventually brought to the end. We see throughout the Megillah, Haman was haughty about his possessions, about his power, his obsession with himself, leading to making himself into his own Avodah Zarah, and now play a part in his downfall as well. Rosh Yemini Neseisa. So in Megillas Esther it says, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Habir Ushma Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ish Yemini. That's a reference to Mordechai as well. There are Midrashim that also note that he was called Yemini because he taught Torah, and it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah Mimino Eish Das Lama through his right hand. So he's called Yemini, the one who taught the Torah, the right hand of Klal Yisrael through the teaching of Torah. In Esther, then it continues as well. We are told, Ki nafal pachad Mordechai aleihem, ki gadol Mordechai bebeis hamelech, v'shmo holech v'chol medinos, ki ha'ish Mordechai holech v'gadol. That Mordechai became increasingly more and more powerful and respected at the end of the Megillah. And we conclude as well in the Megillah, Ki Mordechai Yehudi mishnel ha'melech ha'chashosh v'gadol Yehudim, v'ratzi l'rov ba'acha v'dorish shol le'amo v'dorish shol mechol ha'zoro. And Mordechai became very, very powerful and very strong. He was nisesa. He became greater and greater. He was raised up amongst the Jewish people. V'ayev shemo machisa. And eventually, the enemy's name would be blotted out as well in the end of the story of the Megillah. So here, here we say v'ayev shemo machisa. It says in Esther in Perek Zayin, of a Tomer Esther Ish Tsar V'Oyev. So Haman is referred to as the Oyev, and therefore here as well, that Oyev Shmo Machisa, the enemy was wiped out, Haman Hara Hazeh. And this certainly connects to also to the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, Mecho Emche Zecher Amalek, the same language in the poem over here, V'Oyev Shmo Machisa, the wiping out, either referring to Haman directly or to Amalek. Which brings us now to the most popular and the most famous of the lines, and the most difficult, because it's exactly unclear what the author is referring to here in Ma'oz Tzur. It says, Rov Banav V'kinyanav Al Ha'etz Talisa, literally, that his many sons and his possessions were hanged on the gallows. So what does it mean, Rov Banav? Many of his sons, all of his sons, a lot of his sons, and Kinyanav, his possessions, they took Rove of his sons, so we'll have to see. So, or they took his couch and they hung it on a tree. What does it mean, his possessions? So the Darshanim have a lot of ink to write about this section over here. So let's begin. In Esther it says, V'yisaper lahem hamanis kvod oshro. He told his family about all of his wealth. V'rov banav. And about all of his many sons. Tosos in Shabbos says in Daf Tzadi Beis that the sons of Haman were hanged without their heads. So perhaps, as the Darshanim say, Rov Banav means the majority of their sons, because a little bit was lying on the floor. So Rov Banav, most of the body, was hanged. But the head that didn't make it wasn't there. So that's one explanation of Rov Banav, the majority physically of the body of his sons. The Gemara Megillah Tesvav and Mabez notes that Haman had many sons, as we'll see, some opinions ranging from 30, some to 208. The gematria of Rov Banav is 208. So that could also be what's referring to Rov Banav. All 208 sons were hanged, and that only some of them were hanged. Rav Chaim Knievsky, in the Talmud Zakra, his Sefer on Chumash that he wrote himself, so he has a discussion about Ma'oz Tzur by this paragraph when he's discussing the Megillah. So he suggests that only the sons that were officers were the ones who were hanged. Only the very chashuv sons were hanged, not everybody else. In the Daf al Adaf of David Mandelbaum, a fantastic Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, so he brings a beautiful suggestion. The Gemara in Gittin and Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis suggests that when it comes to Haman, it says Rov Banav, because we're highlighting that there were descendants of Haman. Not all of Haman's children were killed. The Gemara in Gittin says that Bnei Banav Shal Haman learned Torah in Bnei Brak. And on that daf, so Rav Nissengo and Rabbeinu Chananel both write that it's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a descendant of Haman, and when it says that Rabbi Akiva lived in Bnei Brak, like we say in the Haggadah, he was the descendant of Haman who taught Torah in Bnei Brak. So therefore it's highlighting for Rov Banav. Not everybody was killed, because there were people who survived, and they were able to teach Torah later on. However, in the previous verse we said Paro, v'chol zaro, all of Paro's children were wiped out. Nobody descended from Paro afterwards. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avadim that a goy can sell his own children as Avadim. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky suggests that Rov Banav are the older sons and Kinyanav are the younger sons. That he owns his children, he sold them off, they were his possessions. the Avodas Yisrael explains that Haman's used his son's property to glorify himself. They were simply possessions that he used in order to make himself appear stronger, better, more powerful throughout the land. And therefore, it was like his property was hanged. These Mefarshim understand that Kinyanav referred to his children. Why? Why can't it be his actual possessions? Because we'll see the Gemara later on in Top Test Vav tells us that Haman was a slave of Mordechai through a deal, an agreement that they had. And therefore we know, Koma Shekana Eved Kana Balav, and everything Haman owned would belong to Mordechai. And therefore, technically, Haman didn't have any possessions according to the letter of the law, but he did have children. And therefore, the children were what were hanged. What? Maybe not necessarily by a guy. That's why it might be different in that case as well. Rav Binyamin Zaratskin, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of Atera Shlomo, so he has a beautiful sefer on the Moedim called the Nachos Binyamin. So he also darshans Mo's sur, and he beautifully explains that this was Mida Keneged Mida. He notes that the Jewish people are called Banim Atem Lashem, that we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're also referred to as Am Zu Kanisa. We are the possessions, we belong to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We are the children, the property of Hashem. And therefore, since Haman went after the children of Hashem, he was punished with the death of his own children. Mida keneged mida. You went after my children, says Hashem, so I'm going to make a point of going after your children, your possessions as well. The Mati Yehuda cites the Gemara in Megillah Tesvav as well, which says, Shekol ginzav shel oso Russia chukukin alibo. All of the treasures of that Russia were engraved on his heart. So there's a machlokas Rishonim, exactly what does that mean? According to the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, there were Bali Hatosos who lived in England. Not so many, but there were Jews who lived in England at that time. And they explain that he walked around with a stone around his neck that was engraved with all of the secret locations where he stored his treasure. And therefore, when he was hanged on the tree, that was hanging as well. That necklace containing all of his kinyanim, all of his possessions and their location, went along with him. The Maharal writes in the Or Chadash, his parish on Miguel's Esther, on the Pasuk of the Chozan in Shavali, that he thought about his treasures all the time. Haman was constantly thinking, obsessing about his wealth. And therefore, when he was hanged on the tree, Kol kinyanav, all of his possessions were there with him, because they were with him in his mind. And all his possessions went as well. The Chayadam writes in Klal Kuf Nun Hei that a form of Mechias Amalek is to destroy the property of Amaleki as well, of an Amalekite, is to go and also to destroy the things that they own. And therefore, by destroying the property of Haman, the Piyut is telling us it's a Kiyam of Mechias Amalek. It's also wiping out Amalek by destroying the property. So we see in these few lines that we sing through very quickly on the night of Chanukah, we have came out the whole Purim story right here, and all the deep secrets and all the ideas within those few lines that the author of the poem is trying to teach us. Okay, stop here.